This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for the introduction. Yeah, I am still new. It's a long time since anybody used the word new to describe me, so I'm going to enjoy it while I can. I've been chief executive of the Child Exploitation Online Protection Centre since the 29th of November. And prior to that, as you referred to, I've rather alarmingly approaching 25 years' experience as a police officer, most recently as a chief officer in Lincolnshire mainly, where I've worked with a first-rate director of children's services, and also in Nottinghamshire, where they were very good as well, I hasten to add, in case anybody's here from Nottinghamshire. The reason why I wanted to be the chief executive of CHOP is because I spent my entire working life involved in the protection of the public, and CHOP delivers a very particular kind of hugely valuable service in terms of protecting some of the most vulnerable members of society. So there's a natural flow from what I've been doing before into what CHOP does. But it's also important to tell you a little bit about CHOP and emphasise at first that it is not primarily a law enforcement organisation. It's a child safeguarding and protection organisation. It combines a number of different specialisms and pieces of expertise which put together in one place create quite a considerable impact in terms of what we're all here to do. CHOP contains expertise in education and training, expertise in law enforcement, for example, covert internet investigation, victim identification, expertise in intelligence, expertise in child protection, which is built into every aspect of what CHOP does. And for a relatively small organisation, which draws less than £6.5 million a year from the public purse, delivers a quite extraordinary level of impact across a number of different areas. The kind of activities we're involved in, some of the headlines, we have a programme which some of you may be aware of called Think You Know, which is delivered into classrooms and other environments where children and young people are through an entirely voluntary network of ambassadors and volunteers. And we believe that we have delivered Think You Know products, which are generally videos and classroom packs, to over 7 million children in this country. Last week, we launched our most recent product, which you may have noticed as part of the Safer Internet Day event, which was specifically talking about the dangers of something called sexting, which I will come back to in a moment. But the work we do in terms of prevention, empowering and informing young people to protect themselves, and also highlighting the threat to people who have responsibility for them, is, I think, given all my years of experience in public service, a model of how to put very little in terms of resource, but deliver a massive effect at the other end. CHOP's future has been subject of a lot of national debate, and I think it would be wrong of me not to just address that issue briefly as well. There's been some debate about whether we will continue as we are or whether we'll be placed within a new national crime agency for which our new government has plans. I just think it's really important to reassure you, if you need a reassuring, that I'm very optimistic that whatever decision government makes about us, the mode of operating that has made CHOP what it is and has made it special and unique and uniquely valuable will continue. There are six principles on which CHOP is based. I've had huge numbers of assurance from all kinds of important people, people who actually are very close to those making the decisions, that those six principles will be not only retained, but actually valued as part of the national asset that CHOP is. And just briefly, those are about the ability to form and create partnerships with industry, partnerships with NGOs, partnerships with other departments, and anybody involved in the mission of child protection. The ability to attract, recruit and create, retain staff from a variety of different disciplines, including child protection, but also law enforcement and also education. An independent governance process to which I report, and a very fine board I have to report to, Sue, I may say. Jeanette was at the board meeting this morning. My own independence as chief executive to go where the work takes us in terms of child protection. And a set-aside budget that enables us to plan productively and appropriately for the future. So those principles on which CHOP is based, I've had a lot of assurances that they'll be honoured, And we have operated for the last nearly 5 years as an affiliate of the Serious Organised Crime Agency, albeit with our own brand, which is very important. I do think it's possible for us to operate with a similar relationship with a new national crime agency, provided those things that make us special are retained. To give you an idea of the kind of work that we do, we have units that receive, mainly from abroad but also from the UK, large quantities of indecent images of children. These are pictures of child abuse taking place. They're horrible. And try and interrogate those pictures so we can identify victims, so that we can safeguard them, and also obviously identify perpetrators so that people can be protected from them. Similarly, we do work where we have undercover officers who are not the kind of proverbial TV picture you might have of undercover officers. They operate on the internet, in the kind of areas of the internet, and I'll come on to this, where children are at risk, and also people who put children at risk feel relatively free to operate, share images, and share offending. The subject of this is child protection online, and I think what I probably want to do is just dismantle those terms for a moment as well, which is very important. In terms of child protection, it's very difficult for us to draw a line about where SEOP's activity should end and where other people should take over. I think there's a permeable approach to this. There are some types of exploitation related to online activity that are very clearly our business, and those are about child sexual exploitation, child abuse images, for example. But there are other types of harm that take place through the medium of the internet, for example, which it's right to be concerned about, which are clearly harmful, but which I don't think we will be able to regard as priorities. And bullying is the most obvious one of those. And some of the bullying activities that are well known to professionals in this room and elsewhere are not nice, are not good. But SEOP was not primarily set up to tackle those. And there are other people whose roles we need to respect who have the opportunity to do work in those areas as well. The mission of protecting and safeguarding children and young people in this country is just too big for any one agency to tackle on its own, and frankly too big for an organisation with a taxpayer's budget of less than £6.5 million to try and take on our own. The fact is, if you believe some of the figures, about £5.5 billion is spent annually in this country on protecting and safeguarding children and young people. The smart way for SEOP to operate is to understand the unique additional value we can bring for our relatively small income. Not compete with others, but understand how what others have to offer and work together in partnership. The online world, the first thing probably to say about that is I actually think the time has passed sometime in the last year or two when we can talk about the online world as opposed to the offline world. I have in my pocket this device, which is a straightforward iPhone. You can probably buy one within 15 minutes of walking out of the front door of here, should you wish. It's an online device. I can take a picture of myself and send it to Peter if I so wish. That's an online activity. I can find where the nearest bicycle hire place, but bless him, Boris Bikes. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but I can find all the nearest places where Boris Bikes are, find out how many bikes there are there waiting for me to ride back to the office, etc., etc. Those are the uses to which I put the iPhone. Obviously, the uses to which young people put iPhones and similar mobile devices are very different. Even in the last 5 years, just looking at it from the investigative point of view, 5 years ago, you would have expected maybe there to be one computer in a house. It would be attached by wire to a wall somewhere and might well be in the sitting room or in a place which, within a family home, would be the subject of what I would call natural surveillance. In other words, if my 14-year-old daughter was operating the computer, it would be in a shared space and we'd all know what was going on. Of course, now my 14-year-old daughter can retreat to her bedroom with her laptop, no wires attached. The level of natural surveillance is significantly reduced or if not eliminated. And the power of that machine and the ability for it to do things instantly online has increased exponentially. Say goodbye to her friends at the school bus stop, get on her smartphone and go on Facebook within a minute of getting on the bus and effectively be online at that point and then get off the bus at the other end and go back offline. But still, it will be as natural in terms of her, the way she lives her life, as anything else. Some figures suggest that most children in this country spend between 1 and 2 hours a day on the internet. So this is just an integral part of people's lives in a way that somebody of my vintage finds it hard to understand. But I'm learning fast, I hope. So this is what we call the converged environment, where the distinction between online and offline is no longer that significant. And if we're in the business of protecting children and young people, we need to be alert to the way in which that converged environment operates. There are certain types of vulnerability, certain types of offending which are amplified and for which new opportunities are created through the internet, and they're immense challenges. We must be alive to those, but we must also realise that online is no longer a discrete part of the world for most of our people whom we're trying to protect. The other thing I would say about the online world, to the extent that it's still relevant, is actually it knows no boundaries at all, unsurprisingly. I've conducted criminal inquiries in relation to the exchange of images of child abuse online, and it has taken officers from my previous force all over the world in terms of looking at the networks through which these things were circulated and accessed. In my new world, in my new incarnation as Chief Executive of CEOP, if I really want to influence the way in which the internet space, be it Facebook, Microsoft, whoever, how safe that is and how easy it is for children and young people to use it to access advice or report abuse, I've got to go to the west coast of the United States, because that is where the critical policy decisions are made, albeit a lot of these companies have really good quality people represented in an increasing number of countries, including, of course, the UK. And networks of people, whether they are abusers or people exchanging images for some other reason, also know no international boundaries. It's as easy on the click of a switch for your information to be transported to South America or Southeast Asia as it is to send it up the road to Luton or Leeds. And the challenges that presents in terms of particularly law enforcement and trying to make safe that space in which so many of our children and young people play are considerable. But when it comes down to it, when it really comes down to it, the technology is a vehicle for human behaviour. The internet has not suddenly created a new raft of abusive behaviour, new manifestations of it particularly, but the proclivity to do that, I believe, has always been within people. It's perhaps allowed certain types of behaviour to take place which would have been suppressed or would have been very difficult to carry out before. But the way we approach these things at CEOP is the technology is not the problem, it's the human use of the technology that is the problem. And the human use is an adaptation of the technology to the same kind of ends as people would have used previous technology or people would have been inclined towards. So if we're going to do good prevention work, basically, if we're going to do good work in terms of deterring people from child abuse or other harms over the internet, we need to understand the behaviour, not treat the technology as the problem. Our big threat areas, looking at the next six to 12 months, are about offenders, people who want to exploit children often for sexual purposes, are about people who make or distribute images of child abuse online, also about the threat to children from their own generation of compromising images, going back to the theme of sexting. And this is the most recent trend that we're trying to tackle and the subject of that preventive material that I mentioned earlier. And this is quite simply, for all kinds of reasons, often children and young people taking images of themselves that have an element of indecency, from flirtatiousness going on to something else entirely, and putting them out there, occasionally directly onto YouTube for any audience, but often to friends because they think it's funny, friends share it with other friends, and the whole thing then rapidly becomes uncontrollable. And once those images are out there, they cannot be recovered. They're gone forever, they're out there forever. So the amount of harm that can be done through what to some may seem a relatively innocent, almost amusing activity is a message that we clearly need to get across. And that's an example of the new level of technology being adapted in a way that actually creates a new type of harm and new opportunities to prevent it and deter people from it, as well as new problems arising from it. We have to keep ahead of the technological developments that give people new opportunities to abuse, keeping all the while in our minds that this is about their behaviour and their psychology ultimately, but given new expression through the technology. Also, we try and protect children, young people in deprived or vulnerable communities that attract travelling predators and offenders. We have to operate in a variety of countries, including Eastern Europe and Southeast Asia, where UK nationals, on the positive side, perhaps deterred from offending in this country through the measures that have been put in place for sex offender management or for child protection, who simply travel abroad to abuse children in who are more vulnerable for a variety of different reasons. Finally, we have a specific role to understand the threat from child trafficking and to work with others to tackle that. And child trafficking has a sexual abuse connotation in some places, but it can also be for domestic servitude. It can also be for street crime. It can also be for the purpose of the drugs trade, and we have a particular trend, for example, about children often from Vietnam being brought into this country to operate cannabis farms, which creates huge levels of risk and a particular challenge, because one of the issues that we need to make sure we remind the police service and my former colleagues in the police service about is that it's very easy to look at people in that situation as offenders. It is also important to understand that they are victims. Very easy to conduct an investigation to some of the criminal harms that I've described as a building a prosecution, but it's also very important to understand it is, by definition, an operation to safeguard children and young people. So this is a complex area, and it's difficult to get people to understand the complexity. And of course, with the complexity and the level of risk comes difficulty in wanting necessarily getting people to engage. So that's where we think the threat lies for the next 12 months and possibly beyond. How I'd like to finish, I actually think the way we tackle this immensely new, challenging, difficult technology and the new manifestations of harm, vulnerability and offending that it generates is actually the same way that we would tackle any other problem to do with child protection and safeguarding. On an understanding that there is no one agency that has all the answers, and so we have to work together effectively, with a view to creating and managing and sustaining the kind of relationships and partnerships with those others which can actually deliver the best impact for children and young people. Looking through the eyes of the child, to borrow the phrase from Jeanette via the Munro Review, and understanding that probably what they would want is the most accessible, best quality way of getting advice on how to protect themselves, but also report abuse or report concerns. Decluttering that landscape so it's as accessible as possible, but as straightforward as possible. And finally, focusing on, actually going back, forgive me my police roots for a moment, to the principles of Sir Robert Peel, no less, who said the ultimate success of policing, and I would argue the ultimate success of child protection safeguarding endeavours, is the absence of the problem, the absence of crime, or the absence of harm and vulnerability to children and young people. So our basic message is, I think we have a particular role to play. We offer remarkable value, and I would want to make sure that you're aware that we're here to help you if we can in some way, and you're very welcome to contact us, and I hope my details will be circulated or available to you, having attended this or watched online. And that they actually, despite all that complexity, the novelty of it, the principles of how we should deliver the safest possible world for our children and young people are not that different in this high-tech world, this international world, from those that have probably brought us here today and that we've experienced in our previous incarnations. Thank you very much.